on 1 second. Okay, go.
Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us. It gave me a reason to put on a tie this morning in the confines of my own home. Thank you for joining us for this electronic board meeting, April 2nd, 2020. The Permanent Community Impact Fund Board. Normally we would go right to the briefing, but we know we have Bill Prater on the line for a limited amount of time. So we're going to go right into item 9.2, which is the CIB loan discussion and a loan deferral policy. A draft of that has been sent out to board members, or it's in your iLegislate packet. If you don't have it, you can go look for it right now. The reason this is coming up, we've had a few entities, and I'm sure they won't be the last ones, that may have seen either a reduction in fees collected or other type of revenue that they may be requesting for a deferral of their payment. And we want to get a policy in place so that we can handle these. I'm glad we have a lot of our county commissioners on our board that can help kind of fill us in on maybe what the eyes and ears are out there. But this policy, and Allison and Bill, you can weigh in if I'm getting any of this incorrect, but it would authorize the staff to do a deferral for entities that requested it, and it would defer their payment for a year. So we have annual payments, so it would defer their payment for a year. The borrower would have to re-amortize their loan after that year based on the missed payment. So interest would continue to accrue as per the note. We would waive the delinquent interest charge, which is like 18%. And then, again, it'd be re-amortized, and it'd be up to the borrower to deliver those documents that would basically it'd be new bond documents that would replace our existing bond documents. Did I get any of that wrong or miss anything out, Candace, Allison, Bill?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
We need to have a motion to accept electronic meeting before going forward.
I don't think you do. The CIB already has an electronic meeting rule that's been in place for quite some time. So I think you're all set. I think, Nagy, you might be thinking of the governor's executive order.
Yes.
Yeah, that piece of it, I believe, applies only to those boards or commissions that do not already have electronic meeting procedures in place before this emergency.
So noted. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got, and I see Randy's joined us as well. So we want to have just a discussion to make sure that, one, we can get a policy in place. Two, if there's any changes to our statute that our statutes that need to be suggested in a special session to deal with both our deferrals or maybe how we operate our program, those are the things we're discussing. So right now we're dealing with the policy, but certainly open to any questions, comments. It's really up to us how we craft this policy. This is just a draft of what we came up with for consideration.
This is Jack Glidel.
Yes.
I guess is there a way to raise your hand? Oh, there is. Here, I'll raise my hand. I don't know who will see it, though. On the paragraph that's up there where it says the board directs the staff to review and grant requests for loan deferrals due to hardship, will it come back as an information item in the next meeting so that we're at least aware of what deferrals have occurred and what length, or is that unnecessary? I guess that's an open question to the board or to yourself.
I think we do have it in there that we would prepare a written report for each board meeting detailing the deferred payments that have been granted. That is in the
last the last paragraph. I saw that. Okay. Thank you.
Jonathan, this is Bill.
Yes.
Let me explain the bonding side of this. And Randy, please join in if I say something you disagree with. What I talked to Allison and Candace about was I would prepare a generic resolution that the borrowers could use so they didn't have to go to a big expense. What would happen is after a deferral has been granted, I would work with Candace to fill in the relevant information like the date of the prior bond resolution, the remaining principal amount and things like that. Candace and her staff would calculate the interest that accrues during the deferral period, and that would be capitalized or added to principal. Then the borrower would adopt this generic resolution authorizing a replacement bond to be signed.
Am I on the same thing as you are?
If you're not speaking, please mute your mic. Thank you. Go ahead, Bill. Bill?
Bill, we've got you on mute. Which number is Bill? He's not named up here on our participants.
He would be one of the phones, Jonathan.
I just heard you are unmuted. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yep.
All right. So I don't know at what point I would
calculate the interest and amortize it over the...
Right. Now, the reason we have to have the borrower give us a replacement bond is trying to make it as simple as possible. We have to stay within the original parameters authorized for the bond, which would include a maximum final payment date. If we were to just say, well, we'll move everything back a year, we might exceed that. So Candace will re-amortize the bond, it'll increase the payments a little bit, but it will stay in the original term of the bond. Once the borrower has adopted that generic resolution and signed the replacement bond, that bond would be swapped with the bond that we presently hold, and finance would hold that bond and would know how to send out the reminders of the amounts done. So my thought was to try and make it as simple and as inexpensive as possible by just doing this generic bond. Candace, does that sound right to you, what I've just described?
Yes. The only thing that will change as far as the board needs to know is the late charges will be deferred.
Oh, yes, yes.
Bill, this is Randy. If you'd like, I could just give a quick couple of details beyond that I don't think conflict with what you said. The first one is that this won't require a statutory change. The Refunding Bond Act would give all the authority that were needed to be able to do the replacement bond. That does not have to show debt service savings. The other piece that the Refunding Bond Act would allow is if you wanted to extend beyond the original maturity, then you would be able to do that. The Refunding Bond Act gives that authority. By policy, you very well may not want to do that. I just want to let you know the Refunding Bond Act, at that point, you're citing the Refunding Bond Act instead of the original kind of a new money project bond act requires you to stay within that original years and maturity. But once you do a refund.
Okay, Randy, I didn't have a chance to talk to you before this meeting. I guess my question is, if the original bond was issued, they would have adopted the parameters resolution, which would set the maximum maturity. Does the Refunding Bond Act allow you to exceed that parameter?
It does, yes.
Without republishing?
Yeah, there's no hearing requirement, but by republishing a notice, it's actually, and I might get too far in the weeds, but let me do it quickly. The new Refunding Bond Act resolution permissively, it doesn't require, but allows you to do a new resolution or new publication, I'm sorry, with a new par amount and maturity term. That's not a requirement, but that gives you a 30-day contestability period. Going under the Refunding Bond Act, you could exceed the original parameters without having to show debt service savings. So I just wanted to note that for you.
Okay.
I think that degree of added flexibility could be fairly important to some of our borrowers, but maybe not all. I just don't know. But that it's good to know that that option's available.
The other piece I'd quickly mention is that in most circumstances, this level of change in amortization will trigger what in tax law is known as a reissuance. I'd hate to have anyone panic or get too freaked out about that. It's quite simple, but it does require refiling of a new 8038 with respect to tax-exempt bonds. And so that would be, you know, whether you add that to your procedures or not, just note that that'd be a requirement in most circumstances. That's a case-by-case analysis as to how much is deferred and how long we put out the maturity. But it may require tax reissuance, not a big expense. That's a very simple form to fill out. And then the last piece of a bill is that most of the CIB bonds are done by resolution. Some will have to be done through an indenture. And so that would require some tweaking of your standardized resolution here to give that kind of authority to adjust an indenture in place.
Would the trustee bond indenture trustee have to consent?
They wouldn't have to consent, but they'd have to sign on the bond. I mean, they don't have the right to hold it up, but yes, they would have to sign on the bond.
Okay.
So the policy we're considering really just directs staff to work with borrowers to take care of these things. I think the intent would be to grant the deferrals. I mean, it just means we'll have some revenue we're forgoing over the short term. We'll recapture it over the long term, but it gives some at least time relief to communities that are trying to deal with maybe a sudden reduction in revenue.
Jonathan, this is Greg. It all sounds great, especially with the flexibility that they have, like David mentioned. That was one of my concerns. But does it help staff at all for it to come back to the board to, like, eliminate any pressure they may be getting from getting from the applicant? I'm just trying to see if there's any way that the board can help the staff with this.
Are you concerned, Greg, that there may be a flood of requests?
Yeah, a flood of requests, and then there's a lot of, you know, pressure on Candace or the staff, and then just to, you know, diffuse that, is there any reason, you know, that's the only thing I can see.
Well, let me, and this may be a better question for our county commissioners, but my impression is if every jurisdiction is going to be dealing with a reduction in revenue, be it sales tax, be it fees, I don't see any, and so we think the requests are all going to be have merit. We're not going to do like some advanced underwriting on whether to grant these or not. If it's requested, we'll probably be erring on the side of granting it. Again, we'll be recapturing the funds over time. We'll just be deferring the payment for a year. So that would be our intent under this policy. But if the board has some other method they want us to use, we can certainly discuss that.
Brenda's going to put up there is a potential request for deferment, so it will be documented. They have to sign it and want to do it. It's a, not this one, Brenda. Yes, that. So this has been created for them to have to fill it out, and at least we'll have a track record, and I will show, you know, it will be a board member item on any future CIB meeting so that you're informed about which one. I appreciate Greg's concern for us because I know it's going to be difficult, and if it is, then you'll probably receive an email from staff if there is a question as to policy, but the policy you're adopting is what Allison and Bill have created, and then they have to request it through this form, and if they don't have this form, it won't happen. So it has to be signed by the presiding official to request it, so it won't be just willy-nilly, and I'll provide this to state finance so that they don't accrue late charges, and the deferment will go through all the channels. I mean, it really is, it will take a lot of team effort, and if the board will authorize it, that'd be great. We wouldn't defer anything more than 1 year's payment. All of these payments are annual payments, so it's just it's a moving target right now, but I appreciate the concern, Greg, because the board is giving us a lot of a target on our back if we don't. So,
Jonathan, I got another question. This is Greg.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
So I see the agreement that's up. It says, you know, only for, you know, due to COVID-19. Is there any, should it be that specific? I mean, that's the only reason we're doing it.
That's why you're looking at this. Good question. So it can be any reason that the board will defer during this period. So
I believe, pull up the policy again. I believe it. We're really talking about during the declared state of emergency by the governor and an additional 30 days.
Not this one.
After... it'd be the procedure document. No, let's see. The policy.
On the memorandum.
Okay.
Right there.
So it's during the declared state of emergency and 30 days following. So we're trying to limit this to just being to deal with this crisis rather than to have like a blanket deferral policy. So it is really just to handle requests during this period of time that will get them payments that are coming due and borrowers, you know, not being able to or needing some relief during this declared state of emergency and 30 days following. And I guess a question is whether 30 days is sufficient. I mean, I think most jurisdictions will be feeling the effects of reduced revenue for a while. I don't know. We don't know exactly when the declared state of emergency will end. So, That probably is a question.
The request form only allows them to request it for 1 year, and then they can, if the board authorizes it, because it can say up to 2 years, they have to do another deferral request. So it only happens for one deferral payment then.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Jack.
Greg, or my Bill. Thought would be, it would be appropriate to limit this to COVID type of concerns. And if somebody else has a reason other than the state of emergency, They should ask the board. Don't put the pressure on staff to have to weed out people who have other reasons they think they need a deferral.
Okay. I concur with what Bill just said on that. My comment was going to be, or question with a comment. So I'm misunderstanding, or not sure I'm understanding correctly, at least. I guess that's redundant. Do they have to apply for this, for the COVID relief from CIB with the staff within the next 30 days, or does it, or do they have, are we looking at giving them longer to do that as they figure out what's going to happen to their revenues?
Because yeah, right,
I'm more of right. a feeling if it's longer than 30 days, it might be better.
Yeah,
as long right. as it's related to COVID.
Yeah, right now it's during the declared state of emergency, which is already started, and there's no official end until the governor ends it, and then 30 days following that, when that would be declared as the end. So it's an open time period right now until that declared state of emergency ends, and then it would be up to 30 days following that end period.
You're probably referring to the date that says approved this day of April, but that's changeable. That's a form.
Okay, so we're early in the first 30 days, and then so, it would be the...
Well, as long as
assuming the declared state of emergency, for example, if the state of emergency is still in effect in August, we can still receive requests in August and September. If it ended September 30th, we could accept requests up to October 30th. So those are just some examples. Right now, it's an indefinite period until the declared state of emergency ends. And then once that ends, there's still an additional 30 days after that under this policy.
All right. Jonathan, thank you.
Can I clarify one thing about this signature line at the bottom? This is, if the board approves this policy today, it's a signature for Jonathan, just so that there's a date on the policy. That's all it is. So if it's approved today, Jonathan would sign it today, and that's all it is. But yeah, the 30 days is just a suggestion. If folks think that 60 days following the end of the emergency is a better idea, that's up for discussion today. There's nothing statutory that or magic to the 30 days.
This is Irene.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would have a tendency to think that we should go longer than 30 days, maybe 60, maybe 90. And the reason being that I would hate to see quite a few entities flood to the process because they're scared of missing that window. Because to be honest with you, we will not know the full ramification of the downturn in the economies because of COVID. And it could take a little bit of time for all of those realities to set in. Reduced numbers, and even for some of our water districts, where water sales to the industry could go down substantially. And so I would hate to see people flood to the process. If they had a little bit longer, they may be able to find alternatives. So that's just a thought.
Okay. Let's see.
Aaron, Mike.
No, yes.
I agree with Irene, because a lot of the revenues that specifically the counties receive aren't processed by the state tax commission for 60 to 90 days, and so we've got an idea that it's going to be down, but we're not going to know how far down our revenues are until at least 90 days after the fact, because like your TRT money, your road money, all of that stuff, you're not going to have any idea for quite some time after the to go through the reporting process.
Okay. So let's see, Commissioner Lytle, you have your hand up. So, and there is a raise hand feature, and this would be helpful for me to know who wants to make a comment. So Go ahead, Commissioner.
It's the only time I can be compliant with the chair and raise my hand.
Right.
What both commissioners brought up makes sense, because some of those reports we don't get until, you know, they're a quarter after on the fiscal year. They're quarterly reports, but they're usually 3 months later than when they were reported, if that makes any sense, relative right. to TRT and the DOT stuff. So I'm wondering if we were to put something in that kind of language that the 2 quarters or the quarter following the closure of the emergency declaration that we did. So that's at least 3 months, four months, I guess.
We could just say 90 days, or we can say 120 days. Those are options. Treasurer Damson says he needs to make a comment and then jump on a different call. So go ahead, Treasurer.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'll be back from that different call in a second. We're firing off a lot of wire transfers lately to buy personal protective equipment, and we have a particular wire to a foreign domicile that we're having issues with, and all of these things are pretty urgent, so I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to make the comment before it gets lost, and I'll be back as soon as I can, but I think it would make sense to expand the policy and procedure to allow for that added degree of flexibility that the Refunding Bond Act would allow for. And that's something that we could have Randy work with Bill on, because I think there might be some of our borrowers that would have a hard time with the reamortization, because it's obviously going to bump the payments up. Might not be a problem for a lot of our borrowers, but I think it'd be helpful if the policy and procedure basically said, here's option A, which is capitalize, reamortize, and stay with the original parameters. Option B, to keep the payments down for the sort of the most cash flow sensitive borrowers, which would allow for that pushing out of the final maturity that's allowed under the Refunding Bond Act. I think it would be worthwhile to consider expanding the policy and procedure to allow for both of those options.
So there's just one sentence that we'd probably just have to restructure in the actual policy we're looking at right now is that second to last paragraph. Instead of, we'll just restructure debt payments, and rather than say to maintain the maturity of bonds, we'll just eliminate that language. A restructure could look like deferral. It could look like a reamortization under the same time period, but it just leave it up to staff and really working with Bill with our borrowers to make sure that we're meeting the objectives there. So if it's the board's intent to, you know, we would be comfortable with a reamortization or a deferral or adding period of time to the maturity date to maintain the payment. Those could both be options if we just eliminate that sentence, and we would just leave that up to the borrower.
One more thing to, this is Allison, one more thing to keep in mind is that this is just a policy, so it can be changed at any time. You know, we're in a very changeable situation, and so if, you know, a little bit down the road we need to make changes to this, that's absolutely fine, and it is not an overly burdensome process to do so.
And I know we're losing Bill soon for a call. Do you have any last words, Bill?
He's probably already gone.
No, I would be happy to work with Randy on it. My goal is to set this up so it could be done by the borrower's board without having to re-engage bond counsel. Sorry, Randy, but that's what Candace asked me to do. But I'll work with Randy about this Refunding Bond Act thing and see if we can come up with something that is easy for them to do.
We just didn't want it to cost more money.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know. That's what I'm trying to do.
No, there's no offense taken. We're doing things like this with our clients in unique times. So don't feel bad about that. I think to emphasize what the treasurer said as well, if you can extend the maturity, you also have a coverage requirement. Or if, particularly if the resolution or the indenture has other outstanding bonds, then they will have to comply with a coverage test for the new debt service. Maybe it's 1.25 times. If it's a sales tax bond, then there's a statutory coverage. You are going to want to receive that as well. Otherwise, the bonds would be invalid under the governing document if the debt service comes up to a level that exceeds their coverage. So that's another piece that.
All right. So Randy, I will coordinate with you. I don't think this affects the policy. It's just the implementation that you and I can work with staff on. But Jonathan, I do have to run to this other meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for joining
us. Thanks, Bill.
So what the feedback we've gotten so far is we would change the 30-day to be more time, either 90 or 120 days. And then we would also eliminate in that second to last paragraph, it'll read, the board directs CIB staff to work with borrowers during the payment deferral period to restructure debt payments, period. And then we would leave it up to, Candace and Bill and Randy to work out what that policy and procedure is to make sure we still have valid bonds, that we're still getting paid. We'll just restructure it in a different way. But that would be left up to those people to do. They would still come back and report each board meeting under this existing policy. And as Allison noted, if we feel like we need to tweak this again, we can totally do that. But we have a couple of requests on the table right now, so implementing a policy will help us deal with that.
Would you accept a motion then to move forward with those changes at 120 days and the change in language on the second to last paragraph where it will end after restructured debt payments?
That motion is in order, yes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion made by Commissioner Lytle and a second by Mr. Stevens to approve the policy with those changes, 120 days, and then to modify that and remove the to maintain the maturity of data bonds in that second to last paragraph. Any further discussion?
Jonathan, this is Greg. I do have one more. You know how they said they'd have to come back, you know, so if they needed a second year deferral, should there be a limit or, something in place that they don't just continue to defer it for, you know, year after year?
Or should it be limited to 1 year? This coronavirus, this.
As the maker of the motion, I'm wondering if, along the lines of Candace's deal, if they were to come back after this, it would be either we would we've in essence put a sunset with the 120 days of the availability. And Greg, I think I'm hearing what you're saying, and it's a question to the attorneys. Does that 120 days put a sunset on it? And then would we have to re-up this if we had other people starting to come back to re-up their application to defer?
So I think, Allison, correct me if I'm wrong, the policy right now is anybody who met the criteria and requested and received a payment deferral would also have an option for another year upon further showing of hardship. That probably would not be tied back to the time period of the declared state of emergency. Is that how it reads, Allison?
Yes, if you look at the middle of the large paragraph here, payment deferrals may be granted for 1 year from the date a request is approved with an option for another year upon further showing of hardship. So if an entity received a deferral, let's say this month, if staff approved that deferral, they could potentially come back in a year and say, we're still you know, having a very difficult time financially, would like one more year, and then they would have to show some further data to staff to get that second year. So this would be the second year is limited to those who get a first year approval for a deferral. That's just a suggestion. You know, obviously this whole policy is up for debate. So if you not feel comfortable allowing that second year, then that's up to the board. I believe that this would not allow a third year. So if an entity at this point, the way the policy reads, if an entity, you know, 2 years from now needs a third payment deferral, they would probably have to come back to the board individually and seek that deferral. Now, obviously, like I said, things are changeable. You can always change your policy. But that's the way it reads now. If you're approved once, you could possibly be approved for a second payment deferral if you can show that you're still under hardship due to the emergency.
But they would have to provide the diligence. But they would have to provide for the second year the diligence.
They would have to show, and it's very non-specific what kind of showing of hardship would be sufficient, but if, say, an entity is somehow really flush with cash and they just don't want to pay, I think the staff might not grant that, but if they're still can show that they're having difficulty making, they would have difficulty making next year's payment, 2021, then the staff could grant that request. And all the
one of the questions that comes
up. Oh, sorry, I was going to say the remainder of the policy would still apply. They'd still have to work with staff to either to restructure their debt payment, either to maintain that maturity date or to change the maturity date if needed.
Okay. That brings up another question with the board and staff part of it. Do we need to have something in this that would say, or is there an assumption that if, say, the staff denied somebody for whatever reason, appropriate reason, obviously, do they or would they have an appeal to the board, or is the staff the last word? And do we need to make that clear?
I think they can come to the board right now, so it doesn't eliminate that option. This just allows for an expedited option to grant it. But it's certainly if they, again, our intent is probably to grant it. But if for any reason we didn't and the applicant wanted to speak with the board about it, that option is still on the table.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. And one more thing. I mean, your statute allows the board to restructure all or part of the applicant's liability to repay loans for extenuating circumstances. I don't think you've exercised this power that frequently in the past, but if there is another reason that an entity would need to restructure debt, like some sort of fire or flood or something, that's always an option for them to come to the board. And I think, as Jonathan said, in this situation, if the staff were to deny a request for some reason, the applicant could go to the board.
They have to come to the board for any other reason but this.
Let's go to Mr. Zanotti. He's had his hand raised because he figured out that feature.
Thank you. Oh, I mean, you noticed me from the St. George, huh?
Yes.
These policies that we put them in place, it is for the going forward loans, or you're going to grandfather all the previous loans?
So it is for existing loans that have payments due that are affected by they're basically having hardship to pay because of the COVID-19, reduced revenues, whatever. So it does apply to any loan that is in our portfolio right now.
Okay, thank you.
Greg,
did you have a comment?
No, that just answered that. I didn't catch that in my first reading, so I appreciate it. I'm comfortable with it now.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to accept the policy with those two modifications, the 120 days, and then to eliminate to maintain the maturity date of bonds in that one paragraph. we'll take a vote, and we'll go to Pam. We're going to do a roll call vote, so unmute yourselves, and Pam will read off your name, and you can vote.
Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Aye.
Jeff Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Hold on. Okay, I unmuted you, Mayor Baker.
Oh, sorry. Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
You're on mute, Tudor, if you're there.
Tudor Ogden?
Might have to star six if he's on the phone still.
Tudor? Tudor, can you push star six? Tudor Ogden?
Well, he was on my phone, but he hung up, so I thought Ed called in. So this is Ken.
Tudor, are you there?
I don't see him on the list.
Yeah, he was in the attendee list.
Oh, you guys are there now?
Yes.
Okay.
We can hear you now.
David Damshin? Is going to be marked absent as he left.
No, he's here.
I'm back. He is? Okay, sorry. Greg Galecki?
Hi.
Okay.
Dave, did you vote? Sorry.
I did not.
David Damshin?
Can I hear the motion?
The motion is to approve the policy with two changes, 120 days instead of 30 days, and then to eliminate the to maintain the maturity date of the bond. So we'll just restructure debt payments. And we can do that a number of ways.
I vote yes.
Okay.
So excuse me, please.
Did you call Kyle Stevens' name? I didn't.
I did.
No, she didn't, and my vote is yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I did. Sorry about that. Okay.
Okay, so that's a unanimous vote, Pam?
Yes.
Okay, so I will sign that policy. We'll start dealing with those borrower requests, and you'll probably start seeing reports, and this will be a discussion point in future board meetings. So thank you very much for your attention on that particular item. And we're going to come back to the other issues, problems. We really appreciate Bill and Randy for being on the line to discuss this and being a part of that particular discussion. So let's go back to item one, which is the briefing. So I'll turn some time over to Candace to quickly review this.
I'm really pleased with the way you board members have handled this, so thank you. It's awesome to see your faces on the webinar today. Sorry, Tudor, you must not have your makeup on. So, and Greg, what a year we've had this month. There are four new projects on this. There are two requests for supplemental funding from the town of Cannonville and Wayne County. We'll get to those at the end. If the board funds all applications today as indicated, and we'll scroll down on what's on the scene, Brenda. You can see the financial page. Now, keep in mind, the next application deadline is June 1st. These are the applications that are before us. And if we fund them all as they have been requested, then the mineral lease balance is in the black. We have the other funding streams, but the barrel of oil was $20 a barrel yesterday. So that's our revenue source. Oil, well, natural gas is probably doing quite well, coal, other products. So the board needs to keep in mind a few items, and it's the board's discretion. We have a 2.5% interest rate right now, but the interest rate from the feds is a lot less, but so the board should consider loaning so that we can keep this fund revolving, but they might consider different interest rates that would be applicable to today's climate. But we do have money. So as you're reviewing these, you know, for the project importance, you know, is it a need or a want? That's probably what the board needs to be really concerned with. Only the entity knows what they really, really need, and they should come forward with their declaration that it is. And I can't ask attendees to sign in, which is usually what I do right now. So we hope that the attendees necessary are here, but we will get to that point. And with that, if the board has any questions about finance, the financials or the revenue coming in.
This is Greg. I have a question. Hey, Jonathan, where is the little hand that you raised to say that you have a question?
Pam, let's see. If at the bottom of I'm a host, so I don't have a hand raised thing. So
bottom of the page.
It probably depends on whether you're on an iPad. It'd be up in the right hand corner where it says more with the three dots. I don't know where it would be on a computer.
In the computer bottom page says participants. If you push on that one, you will have the option of the raising your hand.
Thank you.
Say it again, Nagi.
Bottom of the computer screen, you have participants, share screen, chat, and more. If you click on the participants, you will have an option to raise your hand.
And Jack's hand's raised right now.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner Lytle.
Question for Candace. Knowing, and I don't have the date in my mind, when everything started going south on the price per barrel, do we expect the next quarter's payment to be, I don't know which quarter this reflects, if it's still the good or better rates coming back or the dollar amounts coming back from the mineral lease?
This is the most current numbers we have as of the end of February. So this is all of our revenues coming in at the end of February. That's the last mineral lease report that was received.
So in terms of anticipating, the next report will show part good, part bad, or will it be all the 20 barrel type stuff? Just trying to anticipate revenue.
Well, we get them monthly. We get the reports and the updates and the dollars monthly. So that's when they report. And so we haven't seen what will occur in March, which has occurred. We don't have that report and probably won't till the middle of April. Mitt Romney and our other senators have, you know, been discussing with ONRR that the revenues that the federal government gets, there's two things that might be going on. The federal government should not take those revenues right now, because they get half of what the revenue comes to the state. But there's also, it may mean that they're not going to have those resource developers pay any revenue, but which would impact the state. But both of those items are being looked into. So it's a moving target right now. We just need to be cautious. We need to keep the fund revolving. That's in statute. We still have to do that. The best way to keep it revolving is to loan, even if it's at 0%. I know that doesn't put extra money into the account, but it has money available for the next projects that applicants that haven't anticipated a need yet that will occur in the future. Now, I know, Jonathan, you said, I think it was you that said, with the climate that's here, it'll be interesting to see how many applications, how far communities want to stretch going forward. So our next application deadline is June 1. With the new application, doesn't let them ask for grant or loan. It just is a lump sum. So stay tuned.
I just want to chime in that I think we should be making decisions today. Nobody's getting funded today. So I think we should be we shouldn't really change our process right now. I think we'll have a better sense in June in our funding meeting, where both the revenues are from our side and probably the borrowers will know a lot more what their revenues look like. So I think we kind of just need to move forward traditionally, but when it comes to the June funding meeting, we may have some different conversations both on both sides. And I think that's a good point. I think we are going to see some reduced revenues, you know, maybe not this month, maybe not next month, but the following month we'll start to see that, you know, likely go down. Okay, let's go to first going to go to, oh, Greg, you took your hand down, so I'll go to Mayor Baker.
Thank you, Chairman. Just rumors that I'm hearing and visiting with Irene a little bit. We're hearing that they're looking at the payoffs and real slowdowns with the price of oil being down in the basin. So I think we really do need to look at revenues being very tight.
Okay. Okay, so that's the financial report. Our next item is the approval of minutes of February 6, 2020 funding meeting. We have a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, a motion by Nagi Zanotti and a second by Kyle Stevens to approve the minutes of February 6, 2020. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Isn't that by roll call?
We need to
do a roll call. Roll call. Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. I was just going to do a voice vote, unanimous, but we'll go roll call.
Well, it would be unanimous if nobody voted no.
Right. We can do a roll call vote on the minutes. Go ahead, Pam.
Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Aye.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden? Tudor, are you with us?
Tudor, are you there?
Aye.
All right.
Mike, I keep getting disconnected. I have to keep going back and reconnecting on this computer.
David Danson?
Yes.
Greg Galecki?
Aye.
It's unanimous. To the approval, sorry.
Okay. So let's go to our next item, which are new projects. Wellington City. Candace, if you'll both do a briefing and then introduce who we have on the line that will be here for discussion.
Well, I can do the briefing and Brenda can tell who's on the line.
Okay.
Or Pam. This is Wellington City. This is number one on our agenda today. It's for a new Type 1 aerial fire truck purchase. Their request to CIB is $435,000, of which there is $196,000 loan, 15 years at 1%, and a $239,000 grant. The location is in Carbon County. My question would be the status of USDA funds and the status of applicant cash. USDA is contributing $50,000, and they show applicant cash as $40,000. Wellington City's fire department has several outdated and malfunctioning fire engines, which affect the safety of the community and firefighters. They're seeking grant and loan funds to purchase a new fire truck. The total cost is approximately $482. I don't know if that cost is still solid and firm. $50,000 will come from the USDA, $40,000 from the money set aside by the fire department. The remaining $392 has been requested from CIB, but that's what they said in the minutes. Their request is now $435. And with that, it's a straightforward fire truck.
Okay, well, I see on our screens we have Glenna Nelson, Matt Perea, and Joan Powell. Is that our crew from Wellington?
Yes.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes. Is there anything you want to add to that description before we get to the board for questions? And yeah, board members, you can raise your hand and I'll call on you when you get to that.
So can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the one change I want to make, this is Fire Chief, it is not an aerial truck. This is just a standard pumper engine. It's not an aerial. So that's the just a change I want to make on that.
Okay. Let's go to first Mr. Galecki.
One question is that how old is the current equipment?
My newest engine is a 2004.
Just for the board, listen, we are at a 50-50 grant loan mix. That's it for me for right now.
I didn't catch that. I don't know if it was cutting out for everybody else, but I missed a lot of that.
I think Mr. Glecki was just saying that our traditional mix is a 50-50 loan is what he would be looking at, more of a comment rather than a question. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many of these units do you have in your fleet?
How many units do you have in your fleet?
How many trucks do you have in your fleet?
I currently have one frontline engine. I have a second due engine, which is a 1979 Mac, which is also having mechanical and electrical issues. And I have a reserve engine that is rarely ran due to the mechanical issues it has. The newest engine is a 2004 American LaFrance that was it had been totaled. We purchased it for, and I believe we went through CIB for it. It was a totaled engine that they rebuilt and has had issues since the day we got it. I think we got that for around $175,000 or something like that. But the repair costs are climbing every year with each one of these vehicles. And the one I'm trying to replace, it will stop pumping during firefighting operations just randomly. And we've had a pump specialist out of Salt Lake look at it. He can't figure out why it's doing what it's doing. American LaFrance as a company has gone out of business, so there's nobody to offer support for this vehicle.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Commissioner Lytle.
Yes. Make sure I'm off. Can you hear me?
Yep.
On the two questions was the discrepancy between the minutes to where it was proposed at 50-50 loan grant, and then it mentions a 45-55, and maybe that's back to Mr. Galecki's comment. What are you asking for? It's the first question.
Okay, so what ended up happening there was during the application process, I did not account for a $20,000 in legal fees. So I had already gone to council. Council had approved the original amount. And not only that, the original bid for the truck was a year old. It went up quite a bit due to the cost of materials and things. that goes up every year. So the cost of the truck went up, and also I did not account for $20,000 in legal fees. So council had originally approved that first amount, then we went found out about the legal fees, hoping to be able to put that on the grant side. I do understand the 50-50. This is the second time I approached CIB for to replace this truck. Originally, it was, I want to say, 3, maybe 4 years ago was the first time, but I never was able to secure the second half of the funding for that. So that just kind of died. Coming up, you know, again, I'm in a lot better place to supplement, you know, if you're able to give me half, I'm able to come up with some of this other money through these other sources. And there's another $38,000 not accounted for in this grant that I'm going to approach our local restricted county fund for to actually equip this truck, because this is just for the truck itself. Still have nearly $40,000 in equipment I'll have to buy to make this truck function as a fire truck. To answer your question, that's why it's kind of lopsided right now. It's because I did not account for that, the legal fees, when I approached city council.
Okay, and then, thank you. Is Wellington City part of a fire district or part of Carbon County? How's this fire department set up? And then the question following that will be, where are you with your USDA funds and your application?
Okay, so no, we are not part of a fire district. We are a standalone city fire department. And as far as the USDA funds, I have been given approval basically by Colette Walker over there that if I can secure the CIB funding, they will kick in the $50,000 on their end.
Thank you. That's all I've got.
Okay, any other hands from the board? Yes, Commissioner Dalton.
Yeah, the funding, it looks like the funding on the financials is 15 years. That is the standard for this type of a vehicle, 15-year loan.
My understanding, yes. So a fire engine typically lasts 15 years.
I was asking the board. I was asking Candace, actually. Okay. Sorry about that,
gotcha.
Chief.
Yes, usually on vehicle purchases, you don't want to award a loan for longer than the life of the project, which, as Matt said, is probably around 15 years.
Okay, thank you. And one other question on that is, the 50-50 loan is not that much difference in price if we went, let's see, 50-50. There we go. It's about $1,600 difference, I believe. 15,723 versus, I had it up there just a second, sorry, 14,136. It's another $1,600. Chief, is that doable if we stayed with the 50-50?
I'll let Glenna answer that question. She's the city recorder. She'll be able to answer that question better than me.
It should be. We have a contract with Carbon County right now because we are providing fire services to the county as well. And they have a fund where they pay all of the fire departments, and then the overage amount is split equally among the fire departments, and that is the funding we would be using. So as long as that contract is in place, we should have that. Also, just as an FYI, Wellington City paid off bond, 1994 bond for the building. That was paid off. The majority of that bond was actually to construct the fire station itself. So that was a $23,000 payment. So on the off chance that the county, you know, does not continue that contract, which they are not going to have their own services. So I would see it being continued, and they've raised property taxes, I would assume, with anticipation of those kind of services being needed. We could at least rely on that funds if we absolutely needed to. But the fire department is really, I mean, they're really good about just keeping a tight budget, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So,
That's good. I heard a yes, so that was the most important part of that answer. So, Mr. Glecky, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say they're also having $140,000 in retiring in debt here in the next year or two. So I'd make a motion if we're ready for one.
It's an order.
Just one moment, Jonathan. Tudor Ogden is not on again.
That's, well, he's,
do we need?
He's just absent from the meeting then until he gets back on. So let's.
Okay.
So go ahead with your motion. I know we'll have some comments here still. What's your motion?
I make a motion that we make a $218,000 loan for 15 years at 1% and a $217,000 grant.
Second.
Yeah.
Motion.
Second.
All right. So the motion by Mr. Galecki, seconded by Mr. Zanotti, is to approve a $218,000 loan, 1%, 15 years, and a $217,000 grant. All right. Further discussion, Mayor Baker.
I was just going to second that one. Oh. So I'm a
okay.
little slow.
Any other further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go for a vote. Pam, if you'll unmute yourself and do a roll call vote.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I have Tudor Ogden on my phone, and I'm going to leave him as unmuted so he can hear the conversation and vote near my recording, just so you're aware. The vote for Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Yes.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
Aye.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay. David Damschen? Is David present? David Damschen?
He looks absent, and he's muted, so.
Okay, I'll mark him as absent. Greg Galecki?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous with one absentee.
Okay, great. So that will be on our funding meeting in June, and we will talk again then. It may be virtually like this. We'll figure it out, but we'll have another conversation in June to get that fully done. Thank you. All right, our next item is the town of Lindell. And Candace, we'll go to a briefing on this project with you, and then we'll get our applicants up and running there.
Project number two on the agenda today for review is the town of Lindell.
Town of Lindell.
Feedback. It's for a new fire station and community center. Their request is $932,000 total, of which there is a $332,000 loan, 30-year at zero, with an annual payment of $11,000, $776,750 in grant. The funding, there are other funding options the board can note. This is in Millard County. The applicant cash indicated is $50,000. This project originally applied also for CDBG funding. That review has happened, and so it was noted in a very good public hearing, but they did not receive CDBG funding, so they have come to the board for the balance. This project will be for building a fire station. The town of Lindell has a fire station now that's hooked onto the town hall. It's an old building. It is of historic significance, but they want to demolish, I believe, the fire station part of it. The town hall part of it is the historic building. They're going to build a new building and also update the town hall portion to be ADA compliant. The modifications will include filling in an unused basement, dropping an upper floor to be level with the elevation of the rest of the building, replacing two exterior doors and 18 windows, plus building a new three-bay fire station. The restrooms are indicated to be situated in so that they can be left open 24/7, so that's part of the plus. This building was originally constructed in 1914. They added a two-bay garage in 1983 when they start up the fire engines. Smoke can be, or diesel fumes can be smelled in the town hall. The building was added to the National Register in 2014. So the board should consider part of the conversation to be the status of SHPO. They have emailed back and forth. SHPO's aware of the project, but they haven't established what is going to be done to the building. And with that, that's the project.
Okay, I see two people from Lindell, Jesse Rouse and Andrew Dutson. Is that our crew discussing this today?
Yeah, that should be it.
Yes, it is.
Okay, anything you want to add to the description that Candace gave?
Yeah, just to be clear, the modifications that are proposed would be to basically enlarge the existing fire station, and the best way to do that has been determined to basically demolish that section of the building and reconstruct it larger so that we can fit the remainder of our fire trucks in. As was mentioned, we've looked for all sorts of funding sources. We went to CDBG and just barely missed out on that funding. And then we also have on board we are a member of the Miller County Fire District. By just providing the Lindell Town fire protection, we also cover an area of the county as part of the fire district. And so they have also agreed to help us out with this project. Up to $250,000 worth of the loan burden on this project is what they're going to help us out with on the funding. But like was mentioned, it's not just a fire station project. It's a combined use facility. We're a pretty small town. We don't feel like we can manage multiple facilities, and so we're trying to maintain the combined use facility as much as possible to make our long-term O&M costs as low as possible. So the community center portion of the building, which is where the town council meets in the meeting room, it's got a gym and a kitchen and a stage. So we'd like to bring that building up to code, specifically ADA compliant, but it's a few other code issues make it more functional for the current needs of the community. As was mentioned, that portion of the building is over 100 years old and it is on the historic register. And then some other modifications, like, you know, moving the restrooms as they get rebuilt, they'd be accessible to the park. This building is next to the town park, so and adding a little park maintenance bay on the back of the building, so it's this one building kind of feeds the needs of all aspects of the town, I guess, is kind of the goal here, to be a fully multi-use facility.
Great. Thank you for that description. Let's go to the board and start with Mr. Zanotti.
What is the status of your cash, that $50,000?
It's in hand. It's something we've this project's something we've been working on for a couple of years, and so we've been saving and accumulating in anticipation for this project, and so that the applicant cash is in hand and ready to go.
And what is the status of SHPO as of this morning? Your communication with them, have they reviewed the application?
Yes, so they have visited the site and walked through the site with us. Their biggest concern was just maintaining mostly the outer shell of the building, the look and feel of it. We've discussed other aspects of the project, like maintaining the architectural details inside, the trim, reusing some of the old existing doors, details like that, and they are supportive of it. But as we get more detailed in the design, then they would definitely like to be involved. But they understand the need that if you don't maintain a building, it tears itself down. So they're on board with what we're doing so far.
Thank you.
See other questions? Commissioner Dalton. You're on mute. Let me unmute you. Okay.
I raised my hand and didn't unmute it. Sorry about that. Okay, just to clarify a point that you made in your description, the fire district is going to be responsible or has committed to be responsible for the loan payment of $250,000 of the $332,000 loan that you're asking for. Did I understand that correctly?
That's correct. And my understanding from the CIB staff is that only a single entity can assume that loan. So we would need to draft an agreement between the fire district and the town. And my understanding is the town would basically take on the loan from the CIB, and then the fire district would make payments through the town to.
You do a lease revenue. Part of the payment would be a lease revenue then.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what I just wanted clarification. Thank you.
All right. Let's go Tudor Ogden via Pam's phone. As a comment.
I just had a comment. What's
hey, we cannot hear that.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Sometimes. Okay, talk.
Okay, hey, have you got this agreement then with SHPO and everything? I guess my concern is it looks like an old building that we're trying to renovate. Have you ever considered just bulldozing the whole thing and starting over? It looks like a big expense, about $300 a square foot for this facility.
So, yes, we definitely have considered that and gone back and forth quite a bit. As was mentioned, it's a historical structure, kind of significant to the town's history. The other factor that we've considered, where this has the gym and the stage and the kitchen and, you know, basically the community center, we don't feel like there's any way we could afford to rebuild that size of the facility for such a small town. It gets utilized for, you know, several different town events throughout the year as far as renting out to families for family events, things like that, reunions, dinners, whatnot. So the historical significance of the building and the just the fact that we don't feel like we could afford to replace this much facility was kind of the deciding factor in that.
Okay, one other question then. Back to Commissioner Dalton's comments. Do you have an agreement in place with the fire district to make sure that's going to continue to happen?
Sorry, it's pretty quiet, but I think you're asking about the agreement with the fire district. What that is right now is they've just made and passed a motion that they would fund the $250,000 portion of the loan payment. As far as an agreement drafted and signed, that's not currently in place, but they have made and passed the motion, and in discussion with the fire district chairman, it sounds like it's just a matter of getting things drafted and put in place, but the motion has already been approved to do such.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Baker.
I've got a couple of questions. Mayor, what is the population of Lindale?
So on our last census, it was about 110. Our estimates right now, I think we're up to 130 plus people.
Okay. Have you got set up for a building authority? You'd have to run this loan and everything under your building authority.
And that's something that we're ready to do. It is not currently set up, but it is something that we're anticipating doing, and we've looked into the preliminary steps of creating and doing that.
Okay. Well, my last question is, have you considered pulling off and building a separate fire station from your city offices and just maintaining that for now?
Yes. Yeah, that was a huge consideration in this process. The deciding factor on that was just the maintainability. Being as small as we are, we don't want the facilities we need to maintain to outgrow our resources to do so. And so sharing the restrooms, sharing the meeting room, which is also the room the fire department trains in, which also the media room kind of a thing, sharing those restrooms with the park. We're just looking at long-term O&M costs. We did not want to outgrow ourselves by adding more facility. Also, if we just abandon the fire station in place, we really wouldn't have a use for that garage facility, part of the community center building anymore. So that was the deciding factor to go the way we've chosen to go with it.
Okay. And maybe just throw one more question in there. Have you considered the 50-50 loan grant? Can you handle that?
Yes, we've considered it. No, there'd be no way. We went out to as many different funding sources as we could try, with the fire district, with CDBG, just because we understand this is quite an ask. But we feel like we've stretched ourselves pretty far with what we are at right now. It's just a need that we have, and we're trying to figure out how to do it. But I don't feel like there's any way at all that we could go with a 50-50.
Thank you.
Let's go to Commissioner Lytle.
Okay. One question I have after looking at the pictures, it looked like there was water damage on the building or something from the sprinklers. It sounds silly, kind of, or light in terms of the money we're talking about, but are you looking at redoing your sprinkler system to avoid that water damage or whatever's occurring on that picture?
So yes, the landscaping and getting redone is part of the proposed project. Also, the portion of the building you're looking at in that picture right there is the back of the fire station that will be demolished and torn down. And third to that, the sprinkler spraying on the building has already been corrected.
Okay. And then there was, after going through the minutes a little bit and then with what the final application was, you had a pretty broad range of what your estimates were relative to the cost of the project. What was the range between the Sunrise Engineering and the other estimates, or does the application reflect one of them?
Maybe while the mayor's looking at that, I can speak to that briefly, I believe, and I'd have to look back at the minutes.
Who's
original
speaking?
Estimate. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, who is it?
Oh, this is Jesse Ralphs. I'm with Sunrise Engineering. And
great.
Throughout the process, as the mayor has mentioned, we've gone back and forth looking at different scenarios. Some initial estimates were put together that were probably in the 1.3. Let's see if it says in the minutes there. I don't see the number there, but they were slightly higher than what's been asked or what's been requested. The mayor then did some due diligence. He got some independent estimates from actual contractors that came in and looked at the work to be done. They gave him some quotes. We went back and kind of streamlined or revised the scope to just the critical priorities there. And I think that's where we landed at the current estimate is, like, by revising that down, looking at what the contractor's quotes were, having there is a very modest contingency on it. Again, being driven by what the town feels, and the mayor's put extensive time into looking at many, many scenarios of what they can handle as a town, and that's driving their request, as opposed to just asking for whatever they can get. They've kind of formulated the request and the scope to what they can get by with.
So to add to that, I think a lot of the difference between the contractor estimates mentioned there in the minutes and any engineering estimates, it's not quite an apples to apples comparison. The contractor estimates, you know, was based on just a quick budgetary. We walked through the building with the contractor and kind of gave him an idea. Since that time, the project's been refined. Those numbers did not include things like the bond attorney fees or the engineering of the building or landscaping or, you know, there are several things that were not accounted for in the contractor estimate. It was a very high level, just to get us kind of an idea budgetary wise where we would be at. But we do feel like the engineering numbers that we presented in the application are as accurate of as a representation as we've got at this point.
So, I guess as a follow up to that, do you have minutes to reflect the actual ask for in terms of the discussion that would have occurred? That you can provide the staff and the board, I guess, that would reflect the application itself as opposed to the contractor's estimate?
I would think it has been talked about, so I'll have to go through and get those dug up, but I'm sure we can supply those minutes.
Was it a public hearing?
I think this was the public hearing that we had on this for this project. We have one for the CDBG and one for the CIB, two different public hearings, and I think this is the CIB public hearing. Yeah. So I don't know if the exact, other than the sentence there where the final cost will be somewhere between the two estimates, as the town of Linda will assume. I think other than that language, I don't know that the exact, you know, that the engineering estimate we've got in the application dollar amounts there have been presented at a public hearing, other than that statement there.
So a question to Candace, do these minutes suffice typically for the clarity relative to the application?
Yes, since they will, part of this application is as a loan, they will have to have a definitive public hearing prior to the issuance of the bond, so the public will be advised, and they may, you know, have a problem with that, but the John Q. Public, not us. They did do their due diligence. I didn't look at the date of what these minutes are. We usually encourage them to have minutes or to have another public hearing if the minutes are older than 6 months. These are right there. So it's up to the board if they if you were John Q. Public, what would you want to know? And would this be sufficient for you? But they had the best estimate when they had the public hearing. The public hearing is September. So we usually, the recommended time frame is 3 months, and they're just, 3 months. So it's up to you. It works for us because we will be expecting another public hearing for the issuance of bonds.
That works for me. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Galecki.
Okay. I've been frantically running through some numbers here. And I got to tell you, when I first looked at the project, it just like I think Tudor said, is that it seemed like it should be, you know, you should knock it down for the cost of the project. But, you know, when I look at it, and really you're spending, what, I think $192,000 on redoing the community center part. I think there's value there. I do question that it's $213 a square foot for the for rebuilding a fire station, but Jesse addressed that. I've got a question. Do you have it set up so you have it, you know, as far as maintenance and everything on the building and fire station, is that taken care of? Do you have a maintenance fund?
Yes, and where we're part of the fire district, it's a little more complicated than that. So the fire district provides us funding, quarterly funding, you know, to O&M type funding for our fire station. And so we actually have it set up where we kind of track it almost as if it's two separate buildings, to the extent of the gas is metered separately. The water bill is currently not metered separately, but it's split between the two. So there's quite a split between what, so that we only fund the fire station maintenance from the fire district O&M revenue, and then the building revenue or the building maintenance comes out of the general fund from property tax, things like that.
Okay, I'm going to walk, I guess, myself through a motion, or I'll tell you the motion that I'm thinking. I'm thinking that to make a motion that you take a $450,000 loan at 0% for 30 years. And where I'm coming up with that is that, you know, if you're getting $250,000 from Miller County, that would put you, that puts you at about $200,000, over the term of that. If you look at that, you know, what your annual budget is at over $150,000 or something, it's about 4% of what your budget is. You know, that right now, how it's set up, your annual payment is, you know, $2,700, which it seems like it's pretty good, you know, because you're only Lindell themselves are only taking $82,000 in loan. You know, well, when I say, you know, you're because most of it's done by Miller County. So I guess that being said, if I make that motion, is that doable with you as I've outlined it?
I would say it's not. Our payment total, I mean, the way you're looking at it is correct, kind of what our portion of the payment total would be. Our feelings are that our what's doable for us is a lot closer to what we asked for. Part of that is that we do have a pretty major water project coming up where we're going to have to likely be putting in a new well and some pipelines and things like that. And that's where a lot of our expected revenue is intending to go. We anticipate that in the next year or 2 years. And so
your only debt right now is a $3,000 loan. Is that correct?
Yes. We just this year we paid off two other loans. But within the next couple of years, we're expecting to get a sizable project to put in a new well for our water system, and because of some issues we're having that way. So we're kind of trying.
I guess I struggle with it. If I had a mortgage and it was only one point, so the $2,700 is only less than 2% of what it is. Wish I could work out a mortgage like that.
Right. Well, we when you figure in the a lot of that's the revenue is restricted, like BNC road money. So when we look at the unrestricted portion of our funding that can be used towards this building, that's where we come up with the number of what we feel like we can afford.
The water system, when they do that, is a different revenue source. That's water revenue, so it kind of doesn't apply to this loan and your general fund.
Anything else, Greg?
No, I'm still that's it for right now.
Okay. Let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So why did CBDG deny your application?
So you get ranked by points on a CDB application. There's different things they look at, and they give you kind of a point structure. And our points that we were awarded based on our application and our status and things was actually right on the cusp of the edge of the funding. So they take the total amount of funding and just start awarding from top down on the point ranked list until the funding is run out. We actually ranked right at the end. Our request was $250,000 from CDBG, and we ranked right at the end where we would have been awarded, I think, $30,000 or $36,000 from CDBG, but they had determined that because of the federal restrictions that come with, Davis-Bacon, that kind of stuff that comes with that money, that it would actually be detrimental to award us that amount and make those restrictions apply to the entire project. And so they kind of passed us over and gave the remainder of that, the funds, to the next project below us. So that's kind of what happened there.
And as you can see from the feelings that everybody has, that's a lot of grant that you're asking for. And we're trying to make sure that we have some kind of opportunity to help you and your community. Can you do this? Seems to me there's a two different project you're trying to accomplish. One is the community portion of it, one is the fire station. Which one is the most important to the community? Which one is the most urgent project?
So the fire station is kind of the priority, and that's what is driving this project. However, because of the combined facility with building code and things, that there's some work that would have to be done regardless to the community center portion, just to bring it up to code, so that we could do the fire station portion. So the fire station is the priority, but we were advised that to make it as complete of a project as we needed, so that when we're done, the final product is not kind of a half product, but something that's complete and usable. And so that's why we've added a couple things that the community center is also in need of.
Well, my feeling is that maybe you need to separate the fire station from that community center while you're waiting for SHPO to make a decision how they're going to approach and how they're going to approve your building. So you will have a better opportunity to borrow or ask for grant less than whatever you're asking. Just opinion. Thank you.
Okay, I see no further questions. Who's brave enough to make a motion on this? Mayor Baker.
I hear Greg silent on that motion. I think we've had enough discussion. I would make a motion that we offer them a 50-50 loan grant combination and see if they'll take it. If not, move on.
I'll second the motion.
That motion's in order by Mayor Baker, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. A 50-50 is $554,000 loan and a $554,750 grant. And that would be at 0% for 30 years?
Correct.
Okay. That's the motion. Further discussion to that motion?
And the subject to ship was approval?
Always, correct. Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
Their request is $932,000.
Okay, sorry, I've got that sheet pulled up with, well, the request.
So it's 466 loan.
Okay, did this change from the agenda? It says 1.108750.
I think that's their 50,000 cash.
Okay. All right. So what is the 50-50 amount then, Candace?
466,000 loan, 30-year, at zero, which is a 15,533 payment.
Okay. Approximately. And the equivalent amount in the grant, 466?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that is the motion on the table. Commissioner Dalton.
I've just got a clarification. The total project is 1.158750 million, and they're only putting 50,000 down, so it should be 1108750.
Oh, that's without the CDBG funding.
Okay, so I originally stated it correctly then.
Yes.
Okay, back to that. Can you pull that back up, Brenda? Sorry, on the funding sheet, financial analysis. 50-50 is $554,000 loan at 0% 30 years. That's an $18,467 payment annually, and then a $554,750 grant. So that's the motion on the table. Seeing no further discussion, we'll go to a vote on this. And again, Mayor, just to let you know, this is for the June funding meeting, and this gives you a chance to have some discussions on it, and we can have further dialogue about it at the June meeting. But we'll go to Pam to do a roll call vote on this.
Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Yes.
Jack Lytle?
Yes.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevenson? Aye. I'm sorry, Stevens?
Aye.
Sorry about that. Tudor Ogden? Tudor?
Aye.
David Damchin?
I apologize. I had to step aside a second time on that wire transfer to Israel issue. Missed the discussion, so I will abstain on this one.
Mark is abstained. Craig Galecki?
Aye.
Votes are taken with one abstention.
Okay. That motion passes. And we will see you at the June funding meeting, maybe virtually again, and we can have a further discussion about that project. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Does anybody need a break, or we've been taking breaks here periodically?
I could use a break.
I can too, please. Just 5 minutes.
Okay, let's do a 5-minute break. So I've got 10:16, 10:22. We will reconvene. I'm going to mute all so I don't hear anything.
I don't have any room for
it. The recording will be paused.
So I want to make sure we have a quorum back with us, because I only see 4 faces from the board. So see, we got, okay, there's Kyle's back. Greg, are you on the line again?
I am.
Okay, got Mr. Hansen, Bruce Adams. Okay, I think we're back ready to go. So we'll move on to the town of Leeds. Candace, if you'll give us a briefing on this.
Today's agenda number 3 is the town of Leeds. It's a Main Street storm drain project. The location is in Washington County. Their request is $120,000 in grant funds. This is in conjunction with a UDOT project. It's along Main Street. Their Main Street is a UDOT street road that needs to be accommodated by UDOT. This is for a drainage issue that is on that street. They're going to install 24 inches of storm pipe drain on Main Street. The request is for $120,000 grant, but UDOT is putting in $500,000, and they're putting in $12,000 in applicant cash. UDOT is indicated that they could use contingency monies to help fund this storm project and have asked the town to come up with their portion of stormwater contributed to the street problem. It's estimated that the town contributes about 20% of the stormwater and UDOT will contribute 80%. So they're requesting $500,000, or UDOT is, I believe, accommodating $500,000 to this. They had good public hearing. Thank you, Leeds. That was good. It was well discussed in the public hearing. But we are the Community Impact Board, not the Community Investment Board. So I just thought I'd add that, which was referred to in the application. But it's a project. The question I would have is it a project for the whole community, or does it enhance private property by doing this project? That's it.
Okay, on from Leeds, I see Carl Rasmussen and Wayne Peterson. So we'd invite you to add anything you want to that description.
This is Wayne Peterson. I'm the mayor of Leeds. We're a town of 866 residents. We are a town that has an independent culinary water company and an independent irrigation water company. And the relevance of that is that a little over 10 years ago, the irrigation company chose to pressurize their system. And Utah law does not require somebody, when abandoning an irrigation ditch, to account for the kind of runoff that is normally handled by that kind of system. This problem has developed as a result of the fact that the irrigation system is now pressurized. They used to have a series of ditches and culverts that handled the water quite well. But with the absence of that, it has become a regular problem anytime we have anything beyond a moderate rain on town, on Main Street there in town. We have, as was mentioned, worked with UDOT. They came out, looked at it, agreed we have a problem, that it needs to be addressed, that storm sewers are the reasonable alternative. They have not yet come back, as was mentioned. They are reviewing and looking for the types of funds that will be available. And I would ask just Carl Rasmussen to perhaps provide the update on the most recent feedback that has been provided by UDOT.
Hi, Gary. Can you hear me? This is Carl.
Yep.
Okay.
I happened to even ask Mr. Munson, Tracy Munson with UDOT, to hop into this call or this Zoom feed. So if you can unmute him, he could tell us where they're at. And they're meeting on the 15th of April, and they're going to the RPME group, which is a committee that meets on April 15th. And you there, Tracy?
She did have that up.
He's on. What do you call it? The guest. I saw him on the list.
Yeah, I moved him up.
All right. Now I think I've got it.
There we go.
Hey, Tracy. Good morning.
Good morning. I did take this item to our leadership group in Quality Solutions, and they suggested I let our hydraulics engineers up in Salt Lake take a look at it. I heard back from them yesterday morning. They do have a couple concerns with this project. They think that maybe we could do some spot improvements to help with some of this. They're not sure that a storm drain is the best solution right now. But they're still looking into it. I've been asked to take it to our RPME meeting next month or later this month also to discuss it, if it's the best place for us to be spending our contingency funds right now. So we're still in the middle of investigating this, and I don't know what else, if you have any questions.
Let's go to the board, Mr. Zanotti, who is Mr. UDOT, so maybe he's got some additional stuff. Oh, you're muted. Let me unmute you. There we go.
Please. Good morning, Mayor, and good morning, Mr. Ransom.
Good morning.
As of 8 o'clock this morning, this information I give you is a fresh information from Rick Torgerson, who is the director of the Region 4. I asked specifically about this project and $500,000. They are in communication with the mayor and the city, yes, and they know about the community and the challenges, but nothing is in writing, in agreement, and the commission doesn't have anything from Region 4, anybody yet, to make a decision on $500,000. This has to come before commission before it gets approved or final. But nothing in writing, no agreement has been signed between the city or UDOT or Region 4. So this information was this morning, 8 o'clock. They're still communicating. They're still trying to find a solution, but nothing is in agreement yet.
Okay. Anybody else on the board have a question? Maybe we can get a sense of the time frame of when decisions could be made. I mean, whether we should be making a decision right now or whether we should just be tabling this until some future point.
I think it could be after our RPME meeting. I'd still have to take it back to Quality Solutions. I would say we're still a couple months out before UDOT has a firm grasp on where we're at on this.
Okay. Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
I don't know if I missed it, but was it addressed as far as whether it's private personal property enhancement considered? Because is it just, how is it not personal property enhancement of just people that are on that road?
Mayor?
I said the mayor's probably the best.
I would just say that, it is an issue with regard to actually the road itself becomes, as one of those photos shows, a river itself. It is not just the property owners, but the street itself, the road itself, requires a fairly routine maintenance to be done because the right-of-way is continually being damaged by the erosion that works its way down to the south end of town. It is not just personal property that's involved. It's also the right-of-way for the town that is damaged, and the undermining of existing roadway as well as sidewalks, curbs, and gutters is something that we have suffered in the past few years.
I guess I'll give my train of thought to the board too. You know, if you look at their financials, they're extremely strong. Their normal budget is about $620,000 a year. If they did a loan at all loan at a hundred and for 15 year 120,000 dollar loan, it would be less than 2% of their annual budget. So I think on that basis, I think they're, from what I see on financials and such, they could afford a loan.
I would just highlight that about a third of that revenue is tied to some grants that were utilized in doing work along Main Street with curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Our actual property tax revenues are a little over $68,000 a year, including in lieu of payments. We get about $100,000 in state, our share of income taxes, of the sales taxes that come in. And then we have taxes on our different utilities that the town receives. But in terms of actual money that is not from grants and dedicated, our annual revenues are closer to about $230,000 a year.
So you listed as far as debt, there you have just one bond out that's due in 7 years for about $6,000.
Correct.
Tudor Ogden would like to make a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Tudor.
That was weird.
I guess my comment is it looks like we still don't have everything in place on this project. UDOT hasn't made that approval on their funding side of this thing, and there's still questions from what Tracy was talking. I don't know if we want to take any action on this today.
All right. I think I caught that, Tudor, which is should we be taking any action because some of this stuff isn't finalized yet? Let's go to Commissioner Dalton.
I would just like to just stop the comment on this and make a motion to table this until at least May, to where maybe they'll have a little better idea of what they need, what they're going to get, and go back and have a look at their loan ability, because we're just talking unknown features right now, unknown issues right now. So I'd make the motion that we table this till at least May.
That motion's in order. Did I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, a second from Mayor Baker. So motion made by Mr. Dalton, Commissioner Dalton, and a second by Mayor Baker to table this item. That just, or actually, would we just place this on the pending list? They could come back at any time with further information. Is that what we should do, Candace?
No, it is different from the table in it.
If you place it on the pending list, it gives them a chance to revise it and find out what the status of the actual project is and the UDOT funding. That should be part of the motion if you place it on the pending list. Tabling means you don't do anything. It's just like it didn't exist.
This is Mayor Baker. I'm for tabling it. I made the second. And let it come back in June when everything's finally settled.
That's exactly what my motion was, is because there's so many unknowns right here. Put it on the pending list. It's going to change no matter what. So if they can come back, if they can be assured, if they can come back to the board at a later date. I would just soon table it and not tie up any funds at this point in time.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what the pending list will do. So as far as information to the applicant, we're looking for further clarification from UDOT on where they stand. Is there any other instructions we'd want to give to the applicant should this motion goes forward that we're looking for when they come back?
Well, Mayor Baker here, can I jump in? I think we ought to look at that possibility of taking it all on as a loan. And that wouldn't hurt to have that discussion and with their city residents.
Okay. So that those are some considerations for our applicants. So the motion before us is to place this application on the pending list. You want to just table it then?
Just table it's what I thought we had. Wasn't that what you did?
Yes, just to table it.
Okay, and let me clarify. The pending list is not the priority list. The pending list is they come back when they have additional information. So we don't do anything with it until they bring back additional information.
So the pending list
does not obligate anything. No.
It doesn't obligate anything. Okay. No. Is it easier to come back if they're on the pending list then?
Yeah. So it's basically in the queue for as an applicant until they come back with additional information.
Okay. As long as it doesn't obligate funds, then I would amend my motion to go to the pending list, not to table it, as long as it does not allocate funds, tie up any funds that we can use it at other projects.
Mayor Baker here. I'll agree with that on my second.
Okay. All right. So motion to place this on the pending list. Let's go to Pam for a roll call vote.
Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Noggie Zanotti? Noggie Zanotti?
He's muted.
Aye.
Okay. Sorry, I need to mute Tudor here for a second. Irene Hansen?
Aye.
Okay, I'm sorry. I lost Tudor and now he's back. Okay. Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Garth? Tudor Ogden?
Hey, Robert.
David Damshin?
Yes.
It's one windy day.
Greg Galecki?
Aye.
When do we want to get?
All motions in the affirmative.
All right. That motion passes unanimously. So, again, our instructions, come back when you've got a UDOT decision and also be prepared to have the loan discussion. So those would be our pieces of information. So thank our applicants.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mayor. Our next item is Wayne County Fire District, and go to Candace for a briefing on this.
Item number 4 of the new projects on the application on the agenda today is from Wayne County Fire District. This is for a fire station at Torrey. The request, if I'm not mistaken, is a $1,046,000 total request, of which there is $105,000 loan, 30-year at 2.5%, and a $941,000 grant. Okay, this is for a fire station at Torrey. A portion of the building will be utilized by the fire district for office space, meetings, and trainings. The current building is 40 years old and is too small for the modern apparatus. The current building also houses the town hall. Is that right? No. Yeah. So in the public hearing, this is the third go-around for this project, and that failure... they really want it to go forward this time. They said so in the public hearing minutes. This is for building a 120-by-60 fire station with three trucks, a kitchen, training area, office, storage, men's and women's restroom, change areas, and site work. There's no ambulance in Torrey and Teasdale, and yet one-third of the EMS calls from those areas come out of the Torrey station. So they're looking to improve their facility to accommodate for larger vehicles and to make this a more usable space. The AOG review indicates $90,000 in other funding. The total other funding in CIB application indicates $68,000, which $22,000 is in applicant cash. The $22,000 has been withdrawn of the $90,000 that they discussed in the public hearing because some of the items that they had indicated in this project were not eligible for CIB funding. So they have lowered the amount of applicant cash to that $8,000, and they will accommodate some of the items that could not be accommodated statutorily from CIB funding, and they're going to utilize that for doing those few items. So the actual request is, as you see it, the applicant cash is $8,000, and they also have the land they're donating, which is in kind of $60,000. So that's what the project is.
Okay, see, I've got Jeff Albrecht in here from Wayne County. Is there anybody else that's part of this discussion? Are you flying solo,
Jeff? This is Jeff with Savage Albrecht Engineering. Steve Lutz should be on the phone or on the computer as well. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here.
Okay. Anything you guys want to add to the project description?
Steve, if you want to go ahead and kind of explain, you know, the need for that area geographically for the fire station.
You there, Steve?
Okay, am I back now?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, this the current station we got, literally there's 2 inches space between the front and the door of the fire station. Open the door of the fire station to get to the other side of the fire station. It's an old station that Torrey built probably 40, 45 years ago, and we share it with their city hall, even though we're our own district now. It's been a project that they've done for probably the last 20 years. And I don't know how much of the process with CID twice before, and things have happened. And
hey, so, Steve, can you speak up a bit or more into your microphone?
Better right. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, I'm right down here on the. On the keypad. So it's a real project. The area around Torrey has been growing like crazy, and we don't have adequate equipment there, and we can't fit modern apparatus in there. And the water tender is about 40 years old. We can't get on the end because the bay door isn't tall enough. So it's just a whole collection of problems. The fire station itself doesn't have restrooms. It doesn't have a meeting area. It doesn't have an area where we could wash turnout gear. And it's just obsolete in every possible way.
Okay, let's see if we have questions from the board. And I think some of these are probably going to center on, we were just dealing with a fire station, and we ended up at 50-50, so I'm sure that'll be some of it. But let's go to Kyle Stevens first. Kyle, you're on mute, so let me unmute you. Okay.
In the public hearing minutes, it made reference to the fact that he had considered the CDBG funding, but that in doing so, it complicated things. I was just curious as to what the complications were associated with that.
Yeah, this is Jeff Albrecht. We submitted an application to CDBG. Because of the location of the proposed location, it's actually within Torrey Town limits, although a lot of the infrastructure, most of the motels and restaurants that are around Torrey are actually in the county. This lot was within a block of where the old fire station was and was available, and they own it for construction of the site. But because it was within the Torrey Town limits, CDBG wouldn't allow them to apply for the funding on that. So just a stipulation they had about it not being in the county.
Okay, thank you for that explanation.
Let's see, Mr. Zanotti.
That was part of my question that Mr. Stevens asked. And also, what about other agencies, state agencies, including FEMA? What kind of reaction you got from them?
We've applied for a FEMA grant currently to replace all of our self-contained breathing apparatus that are 20 years old. The firefighter grant family, there's three different grants that they have. Fire station construction is not an eligible category in any of those.
And have you considered this to be the 50-50 loan and grant, because you know most of our application in the past years on this particular project has been that 50-50, and you've seen the feeling of the board this morning. The money's down and we have a little bit of a challenge to give you that kind of grant. What is your feeling about that?
I understand. Here's our thing. We're a brand new district. In operation for just 3 years, but we've only had a funding stream this year. So this year we've started to charge a fire fee, so we get $5 per parcel per month if it's got a step in it. So that only brings us in $117,000 per year in. And I have to run six fire stations with 25 apparatus and 70 firefighters on that really small one. We're just kind of, we're strapped.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
So does Town Hall pay rent?
We lease the building from the town of Torrey, the district does. So we get that for $10 per year. Once we vacate their building, they can do whatever they want with it. They're not moving Town Hall to the private building.
The other thing, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, you know, when we look at the financials and such, you know, it shows that, you know, your general fund is, you know, over 400% of your operating revenues. Can you explain that?
I'm trying to see what numbers you're looking at here.
A couple of pages up more as Brenda's getting to it here. a little bit more. Well, I guess while that's coming up, and we've spoken about the funding package, and acknowledge how important, a little bit further up, I think, we acknowledge the importance of importance of having your equipment inside and the right size building and all that. It's been brought up that a majority of the time we do a 50% loan, 50% grant. And even Paiute County, right now you're at a 10% loan. Even Paiute County, we went as low as a 33% loan. Your payments, as you proposed, because you're just starting your income stream, is about $5,000. If we did a 25% loan, which is $262,000 at a 1% instead of for 30 years instead of 1% or instead of 2.5%, it would be at about $10,000 a year. But it's only about 7% of what's coming in even before you as your income grows. Have you looked at that as an option, going for a longer term, since it's a building as opposed to a 15-year?
We could possibly restructure things enough to get $10,000 a year. I don't see any way to go more than that at the present time. I don't think we're going to be getting that much more money next year or the year after that.
Well, I'll make a motion unless people have other questions.
Let's go to Commissioner Dalton has a question.
Yeah, I know there was a law change this year, TRT tax, that part of the TRT tax in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th class counties could be used for emergency services. Have you looked into that at all and see if there's any TRT money that could be added to that to make sure you make that $10,000 payment?
Commissioner Blackman, Paul here, he can address that.
Can't hear.
He's asking if Commissioner
Blackburn. I don't see him on here. He was on earlier, but I don't see him on here now.
Well, I'll answer it the best I know. Commissioner has been working on that, but of course, now with what we've got going with COVID, I don't think there's going to be a lot of TRT tax revenue for the next year. We don't have any access to that at this point. It is something that the county itself could allocate to us in the future.
All right.
Tudor Ogden has a comment.
Yeah, let's go to Tudor.
I just want to make a comment. I know the thing is barely that's unbelievable.
Sam, we're not picking anything up here on that.
Okay. Tell me what you want to say, and I'll say it in the microphone.
Okay. Wayne County is only 3% of private land.
Wayne County is only 3% of private land. And out of that, 7% is Greenbelt.
So they don't have a lot of revenue.
step, which I think is very commendable, trying to offset some of the costs. So I just want to make that comment sensitive to that.
He's. Did you guys hear that or?
No.
Oh.
He's asking that the board be sensitive to this entity being newer. Tudor, help me out.
Yeah, I got a comment coming to the board that kind of new fire district
put in. Wayne County is coming to the board with a brand new fire district that they're trying to get help. Okay. So he wants the board to be sensitive to that they're asking for help.
Okay. See, go to Commissioner Lytle.
Okie doke. Commissioner Blackburn's been trying to he hasn't been able to maintain a contact with the meeting on and off. But in conversations, he's made it clear that this is the best they can do. And speaking even from a small county side of things, I think And the need they've shown for the building, $10,000 is about the best they can do if I read his deal right. In terms of their share, $100,000. The $105,000 is what I can see from what he's told me is what they can do in terms of the loan. They might be able to put a couple more $1,000 into their cash. I'd be inclined to go ahead and go with the project as they've requested it, recognizing their situation, both the percent of public lands and the being able to come up with more money out of TRT right now. I don't know that that's in their ballgame. I guess that's my comment. The question would be to the proponents that are on the phone is there other flexibility that you can see in how you promoted or proposed your project to help reduce some of the costs?
Well, once again, I don't need to just tell you what a bad situation we're in, but when a district took over these fire departments, we did a study of what we needed, and in addition to this new fire station, we came up with about $1,400,000 in other needs. Some of our fire engines like in the 1970s, and what I've done, I've gotten pretty creative to solve that problem. I actually was able to get North San Diego County, California to give us an engine, and we're just going to have to pay to get that up here and get it completely equipped to function. So I've been as creative as I can with the very limited resources. Like I say, we could probably do $10,000 a year, however that worked out, if it was a 1% or 1%, I guess that would help us quite a bit. That's kind of where we're at.
Jonathan?
This is Jeff Albrecht. I mean, just with the cost of the building, I think we're about $150 a square foot, which metal building construction is definitely cheaper. Who knows with the economy how things will fluctuate, but I feel like, you know, before last week or a week before that, it was probably looking a little low on the price and the cost, but I mean, who knows when we bid out in 5 months, but I think it's at $150 a square foot for commercial. It's not, you know, spiked up too high on the estimate.
Commissioner Adams, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I just wonder if we ought to look at this from the standpoint. I also understand the private land, public land issue in Wayne County. And I think of the private land they have there, 75% of that is in green belt, so they don't collect a lot of taxes. I'm just wondering if we ought to look at this from the standpoint. They can afford a $10,000 a year payment. Let's make the interest as low as we can get it, stretch the years as far as we can get it, and see what that does to the loan portion of it.
Okay, let's go to Mayor Baker.
Okay, I was kind of going to see if Greg was still interested in his motion that he made it. Of doing the 25-75, and if so, I would second it.
Why don't we? Sorry, am I out of turn?
sort of.
Go ahead, John.
I'll wait.
Let's go to Commissioner Dalton first.
Oh, okay. I was going to let Greg finish.
Okay, that's fine. If you want to defer to Greg.
Yeah, I was just going to say 25-75, 1% 30 years is the $10,152.
Mr. Galecki?
Down to the,
okay.
That one
right how about this? So, right, you know, we were talking $10,000 at 1%, but taking into account what Bruce said and what Tudor said, why don't we do 30-year? So here's my motion. A loan, which is going to be 25% loan, 75% grant at 0% for 30 years. So that's going to be a $262,000 loan at 0% for 30 years and $784,000 grant.
Okay, so that motion's in order. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
Okay, second from Commissioner Dalton.
This Mayor Baker, can I jump in?
Hang tight. Let me just restate this motion here, and then we'll go to you, Mayor Baker. So the motion made, $262,000 loan, 30 years at 0%, and a $784,000 grant, made by Mr. Galecki, seconded by Commissioner Dalton. Go to Mayor Baker for a comment.
Okay. My question is, if by going to the 0% loan, that comes out just regular mineral lease money, not doing a 1%, we can take it out of the bonus. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just still in favor of taking it out of the bonus and doing the 1%. What difference is between 0 and 1% of the $10,000?
It's $1,400 a year.
$400 a year?
$1,400 a year.
$1,400. Can I do a substitute motion?
That's in order.
I'd like to do the same thing as Greg did, a 30-year, 25-75, but with the 1% so that we can take that money out of the bonus account.
Second motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so that's made by Mayor Baker, seconded by Mr. Zanotti. The substitute motion is to have a loan of $262,000, 1%, 30 years, and a $784,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion.
What does that make the payment a year?
$10,152.
Same amount almost they were asking for.
No, they were asking for $5,000. But he said he could afford 10.
Right. So, Mr. Zanotti, do you still have comments? Your hands raised.
No, sorry.
Okay. Further discussion to the substitute motion? Commissioner Lytle.
You're muted.
Okay, thank you. If it were at Stephen, have we ever done a 0.5% interest so that we can use that money?
Yes.
What if we did a 0.5% and got it closer or below the 10,000? I don't know what it would do. Would it do that?
Yeah, it'd be somewhere between those two numbers. So it'd be in line.
Mayor Baker, can I modify my motion that's on the table to the 0.5%? I'd like to see the money come out of the bonus.
Okay. Is it okay with you, Mr. Zanotti, seconding that?
I follow my leaders all the time.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So a modified substitute motion is I've got three screens and they're not very organized here. So I've got things all over the place. Okay. So the modified motion, substitute motion is a $262,000 loan, 30 years, 0.5%, and a $784,000 grant. All right, seeing no further discussion of that motion, we'll go to Pam for a roll call vote.
I'm sorry, could I just clarify that it was, the motion was made by Dean Baker and seconded by Nagy Zanotti?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. For the vote, Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagy Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Aye.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
Aye.
David Damschen?
He's left the meeting.
A will be noted as absent. Greg Galecki?
Aye.
The vote is in the affirmative with one absent vote.
Okay. Motion passes. We'll see you at the June funding meeting on that particular project. Thank you very much.
Real quick, what was the tally of the votes? Was there a negative?
No, just one absent. So it's a unanimous vote.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's our next, we're down to supplementals. So we'll go to Candace. We have Town of Cannonville up. Candace, if you give us a quick briefing on this.
Supplemental request number one is from the Town of Cannonville. It's a town hall and medical center. We funded this in October of 2019. Their request supplementally is because the bids came in way over. They need an additional $240,500. Their request to the board today is for a supplemental $202,500. 81,000 is for loan, 20-year at 2.5%. 121.5 is grant. Those are the same divisions that the original funding, which they received in October, was. Those are the same allocations and terms. This project consists of building an additional 2,600 square feet to the existing Town Hall Medical Center to add space for the Town Hall. The Town of Cannonville is seeking the additional for funding because the bids came in over $200 a square foot. Most of the increase is in the mobilization for construction. The project is remote and the cost of delivery of all items as well as time frame of construction have affected the price. That's it.
Okay. We have Mr. Stock on from Cannonville. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I'm here. That was a very good summary, and thank you for that. Basically, we think the overruns in the cost are mobilization costs and our location. We're very remote, and just some of the materials, according to the contractors, the bid, some of the materials are only available in St. George and and that's, you know, a three-hour delivery cost to get them here. So we're of the belief that that's the reason the bids came in so high.
Okay. Let's go to Mr. Znati.
Well, those extra because it's coming from sunny St. George. That's why you get extra sunshine in it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I sympathize with you. Yes, all of our UDOT's project is coming also higher than anticipated based on what we've seen the last 2-3 months. I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve as requested.
Motion's in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Stevens. Further discussion? Commissioner Dalton.
Yeah, just one statement. If, and I don't see the financials to that I could see this and tell it, but what would happen if we give that all to them as a loan and added it to what was already loaned, but dropped the interest rate on the entire package to 1% rather than 2.5%? What would that do financially? I have no way to calculate that.
My computer just went down, or I'd give you the.
Let's see.
So just do wait a sec. So you want the whole 202 added to the 232, so that would be a $434,000 loan. And you want to change from 2.5 to what?
To 1% on the entire amount, so you'd have a loan amount of $232,464,000 on a 1% loan instead of a 2.5% loan.
Working on it. It would be about the same, but I don't have any facts. And since it's a supplemental, it will be funded today, so the vote will matter.
I thought we just followed the norm that what has been requested before, that we match exactly the same ratio with the same kind of interest rate.
That has definitely been our practice, so that there's nothing prohibiting us from doing something different. But
I understand.
I'm just trying to make it okay for Cannonville to be able to afford, but leave that money in the grant fund. Be able to take it out of the mineral lease.
Our calculations are that we currently have two loans outstanding that we're paying on. They will be paid off. We have two more payments. A total of that is $17,000. We handled that very well. So we're looking at our annual payment of being at or under $20,000.
Yeah, Mayor, I'm not looking to add to your debt. I'm just looking to take the money out of a different pot and leave that grant money in there and take it out of the loan. That's why I'm asking the 1% on the entire amount rather than 2.5% on the smaller amount.
Yep, I understand what you're saying. And but once again, our concern is our annual payment and keeping that between $17,000 and $20,000 somewhere.
Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
Yeah, I understand that Cannonville is remote, but it's a 34% increase on the cost of the project, and you know it was originally 262 square feet, you know, earlier, and now if you add that right now it's $368 a square foot now. And it seems like, you know, that's way overpriced. But I guess you're getting competitive bids on it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and this is Jeff Albrecht. And that's the addition of 2,600 square feet. There is some remodel in the existing building. But, you know, even with remodel cost, it averaged what we figured $220 a square foot with remodel.
Okay, then the next question is that it, we spoke about the cost being increased, but why did engineering go up $16,000?
The construction management went up. We didn't raise our design fees. We already got to that point. But the construction management fees based off a percentage, it's typically what we do, 6 to 8%. I think that's at 7 or 6.8%.
So just materials cost more, you made $16,000 more money?
Well, we'll probably lose about $12,000 less, but yeah. It's just a remote area, long ways to travel. We had to minimize how much we were going to be on site anyways.
But that didn't change any from the cost increase, did it?
Well, probably less times we can get there. So if you want to lower that back down, it's just affecting how many times we can get to their site. It is an hourly thing. It's not a lump sum fee. So it's how, you know, and that's usually open-ended on an engineering contract. So when you get to the end of construction, you're asking the town to come up with more money out of their own pocket unless we get it right now. So
unless we give it to you in grant, so they, it doesn't really cost the city anything.
Well,
okay, let's see. Got Candace, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, the payment on a $434,000 loan at 1% would be an average of $17,000 annually. So the first payment is like $16,816.68.
Doable. And that's calculated all of it, everything at 1%, and then no grant on this supplemental.
Oh, so you want the whole project to be a loan?
No. No.
Okay. You want
this
to add
supplemental. This
add
supplemental
it
added to the loan, and the interest rate changed from 1% to 2.5%. And I think you gave me the right. I think those figures you just gave are correct from what I can look on the on some of these other financials. About 17 would be about right. 510,000 would be 19,000. So that you're about right.
Okay.
I know I am.
Okay. Okay. Well, I didn't know you had specifics. Okay.
I got my computer up.
So your calculations were just the way that I had asked you then. Specific.
Can I jump in, Chairman? This is Mayor Baker.
Yes, go ahead, Mayor Baker. You're next anyway.
I think if Mike was making that in the form of a motion, I'm totally with that to second it.
Okay.
Yes,
is that
I
a motion?
Am.
Okay, so that's a substitute motion. That would be to, all right, we're going to go back. I'm just going to state this as the whole project, since we're kind of redoing what was already decided on. It would be a $347,500 grant, and it would be a $434,500 loan. Is that right, Candace? Is that what you did the calculations on? Unmute.
$472,500 is what it should.
No,
400. If we just take what we already loaned, add the new request to the loan only, it's 434. That 434 loan at 1% is 17,000 a year, annual payments for 30 years.
Okay.
The original was 20 years.
Well, this was for, do you want 20 years?
Well, I'd like to pay it off before I die.
What's the rerun it for 20 years, Candace, and let's make sure we're there on the payment.
Okay.
I'm just saying the original was for 20 years.
Yes, I know. And for 2.5%.
At 2.5%.
They're going to be over 20,000 for 20 years.
So, Candace, my calculation is 4 million, let's say 435,500. There's a 500 is still hanging there.
Well, you can't put loans have to be issued in the increments of 1,000. So the loan portion is 434. The grant is the rest of it. $434,000 loan at 1% for 20 years is a payment of $24,000 annually.
That's out of our budget.
Okay.
So the 30-year one is 17.
Yep. So let me go back to Commissioner Dalton, since we're trying to deal with the substitute motion here. Is that what you want to do, 1% 30 years in your substitute motion?
And just figure out, can you do a 25-year real quick?
Yep.
I understand what the mayor's trying to do, and I applaud that, absolutely. Mayor, are you saying about 20,000 is as high as you need, as high as you can go?
Yeah, that would be it. The 434 25-year term would be almost 20,000. It would be 20,000, 19,706 for the first payment, but they fluctuate. 20,000 would be the highest.
Now, let me just state that if what you're trying to do in your substitute motion is, if you're only trying to accomplish just getting more money out of the bonus fund rather than dipping in the mineral lease fund, and our tradition basically, our standard is that we go with the same terms as we originally funded. This is not accomplishing that if we go to 25 years. That is more debt than what would be under the underlying original motion. So I just want to throw that out there. We can go through that substitute motion, but that would be out of the norm of what we do.
But it is still doable.
It is, but again, this is taking something we already approved and then changing the terms. If your only objective is to let's get more money out of the mineral lease account, I mean, I would probably err to just going back to the underlying motion and dealing with it how we would any normal supplemental. But that is your substitute motion. Is that where you want to move forward with that? Are you withdrawing that?
I'll withdraw.
Okay. So let's go back to the underlying motion. We've got Commissioner Lytle wants to make a comment or has a question.
The question is, under the circumstances that we're in or could be facing, would these be to in terms of the balances and down the trail, would Commissioner Dalton's be an applicable or justifiable way of looking at it because of the circumstances we're in right now with all the COVID-related issues as a justification for deviating from the original plan? Or is that just making more of a mess?
It sort of makes a mess right now because we'll be treating this applicant different than we do everybody else. But I think we can have a discussion about, which we are going to in the board member discussion, about any statutory changes that we might suggest in a special session to help deal with COVID realities moving forward. And one of those things may be, you know, what can we do with the bonus fund during this time? We may say, hey, we think we should have some different rules during this time so that we're not so, you know, boxed in on that. So that is something we'll get to a discussion with, but we would be treating this applicant different than everybody else if we start meddling around with that.
Thank you.
Mayor Baker.
Yes. I lowered my hand. I understand. So I'm just here. We're back to the original motion then.
Yes. Mr. Zanotti?
Just to follow up comments, I appreciate everybody's concern, and I'm the same way. But by doing so, by changing all the rules that we have done or the norm, then you're going to be jeopardizing all the other supplemental motions they've done in the past. They come back and redo their motions, redo their requests. And unfortunately, if we have a hardship coming forward, then we will deal with this one and other motions. But right now, I don't think we should change the norm and try to make complications more than what it's supposed to be. Thank you.
Okay. No more hands up. So let's go to a vote to the underlying motion, which is to approve as requested. That's a $121,500 grant and adding $81,000 to the loan. And go to Pam for a roll call vote.
Thank you. Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Aye.
Jack Lytle?
Yes.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye. Sorry to complicate things.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden? David Damschen?
Absent.
Will be noted as absent. Greg Galecki?
Aye.
The votes pass or approved affirmative with one absentee.
Okay, so that unanimously passes. That supplemental's in order. Congratulations. Thank you.
And thank you all for everything you do. I appreciate it.
Okay, our next supplemental request, Wayne County, and go back to Candace for a quick briefing on this. So hopefully this is a very short one.
This is the number two supplemental on the agenda today. It's from Wayne County. It's the Wayne Wonderland Airport runway reconstruction. It was funded in February of 2019 as a $90,000 grant. This supplemental request is for $16,000 from the board to add to the $90,000 grant. The project, they're seeking an additional because it cannot be accommodated within the existing budgetary funding. Poor Wayne County, they can't come up with $16,000. That's it. It's the runway expansion, and then the low bid was over the engineer's estimate. Same song.
All right. $2.8 million project asking for $16,000. Commissioner Lytle.
Would you accept a motion to approve as stated in the $16,000 supplemental?
Yes. That motion's in order. Seconded by Mr. Zanotti. So motion made by Commissioner Lytle. Second by Mr. Zanotti to approve as presented. Further discussion to that motion?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay, Mr. Glucky.
I guess the motion is deny it. If they can't, you know, right now they put in less than 1% of the project, adding another $16,000, you know, bring them up to, you know, just almost 2% of actual, you know, in cash. Supported to it, so I'd like them to work real hard so they can find $16,000.
All right, the substitute motion is to deny the request. Is there a second to that substitute? Hearing none, that motion fails. So back to the underlying motion to approve. Seeing no further discussion, go to Pam for a roll call vote.
Bruce Adams?
Yes.
Nagi Zanotti?
Aye.
Irene Hansen?
Yes.
Jack Lytle?
Aye.
Dean Baker?
Aye.
Mike Dalton?
Aye.
Kyle Stevens?
Aye.
Tudor Ogden?
Aye.
David Danchin will be noted as absent. Greg Galecki?
Nay.
Okay, Chair rules that motion passes. So that supplemental is in order. And we will move on to the next agenda item, which is board meetings. Candace, what do you want to say about board meetings?
We'll have the next board meeting May 7th, and it will be a webinar. In the meantime, if anybody would like to have a test drive of your equipment, we're happy to do so. We'll send you an invite. Thank you, everybody, for being on early. We will get on early again next time in May to make sure all the bugs are handled. And it's likely that this will be the way we operate until we don't. So if you have any questions or comments about this webinar or suggestions, we would appreciate them, and we thank you for your patience. That's what I'd like to say. The next one will be a webinar, so here we go. But we're happy to help you and troubleshoot and figure out how to get the whole world on there, Galecki and Ogden. We'd like to see them. So thank you. That's all. It's just will be a webinar, so look for it. I send out, I don't know how many emails to you about this meeting invite. And thank you for responding. You were very patient. I had an update to the update to the update. The link you want is the one that comes for you specifically from Pam. So my emails won't include any. I won't confuse you like that, but I will just be directional, and then you can just log in to the only Zoom invitation you get, and it will be from Pam. So we'll get better.
What about the June retreat?
What about it?
Are we still on it?
So I think where we're at on that, and Pam and Candace, you can weigh in on this. I think we were going to hold some reservations, and we can probably do that until the end of April and then make a decision then on whether we can have a meeting there or not. So we're going to have to figure that out, but we'll hold the date, and we'll hold the dates, and then we'll figure out at the end of April whether we can move forward with that or whether we're just going to end up doing a webinar training for our policy retreat.
That's fine. Thank you.
The last item we want to talk about. Yes, go ahead, Commissioner Lytle.
We could go to Kanab and then do the conference call from Kanab amongst ourselves.
Yeah. The one thing I did want to have a quick discussion on is under this 9.2 is whether we feel like any things would be helpful in a special session to be addressed. We sort of got into this discussion a little bit about the bonus fund. We're worried about mineral release revenues being down, period. I'm worried about communities having, you know, much less revenue to take on loan projects. The only real thing we really thought about in our statute was getting some flexibility, maybe some limited flexibility for a period of time on issuing interest-bearing loans out of the bonus account so that we could do some other things. But that's totally a discussion about this board. And again, that would be something that we have to change legislatively. So even if we think it's a good idea, it doesn't mean it'll get done. But I didn't know if there's anything else if that's a supported idea, or if you want to think of anything else that we want to suggest to help out that we need done legislatively to give us some flexibility. And you can raise your hands and we can have a discussion about that if you have any ideas on it. Mr. Galecki.
I'm wondering if there's a discussion or if we could have more, you know, so we have various tools at our disposal, you know, the financial tools that are provided to us. Are we, you know, I'm wondering if we need some training, or maybe I could use some training on making sure I'm using those financial tools appropriately, that we're not over, you know, just trying to do the right the right decisions with the applicant.
Okay. Well, that's something we can do for our policy retreat, is do some more training on that. Is there anything you want to suggest for, like, getting flexibility in our statute for, like, a special session that's likely to be called?
Good point. No, not at this point.
Is it of interest to folks to have some flexibility in the bonus account right now?
Flexibility in what way?
Right now you can only do loans, interest-bearing loans, out of that account. If there's a legislative change and you wanted some flexibility, you could do grants, you could do 0% stuff. There's other things that we could suggest in a statute change. And we could also probably limit it to a time period that's dealing with a specific situation. I mean, these are all going to be suggestions if you want to move forward on something. If not, we can just operate under our existing statute. But we won't have a chance really to create more flexibility in the statute as easy as we were able to do a policy today, because that takes legislative action. Go to Commissioner Dalton.
Yep. Since I found out we could do a 0.5% interest on the bonus fund, a 0.5% interest, if somebody can't afford a 0.5% interest, then we run out of grant money. I guess that project doesn't need to go, but a 0.5% interest is nothing. In my estimation, I'd hate to use the bonus fund for grants.
Go to Mr. Zanotti.
Well, let's just follow what we have right now. We have discretion to review all the applications and make a judgment based on the condition, hardship that we talked about today. Let's not make too much rash changes until we know exactly what is coming.
Mm-hmm. All right. Commissioner Hansen?
I would agree with those last two comments. There's always a concern during a state and national crisis to open up any kind of legislation for the CIB. That would concern me, and I agree that if we can go down to 0.5%, that leaves us with a lot of flexibility.
All right, Mayor Baker.
Agree with the other three, Mike Dalton. I think we're good just staying as we are, and I would hate to open that up to the legislative session. So,
all right, Mr. Stevens.
The comment I had was that if the staff has given that some consideration and has some recommendations that we could consider, would be open to that.
That's the only thing. I wouldn't say we're sold on it. I think we're more concerned, you know, that communities. Again, to go with what Commissioner Hansen said, you know, kind of a worst case scenario, we're in this emergency situation, towns all of a sudden have an emergency need, they have diminished revenues, we have no money in our mineral lease account, we have a lot of money in our bonus account, what do we do with it? And we have limited options under our existing statute to do anything other than a loan, and some communities may not be able to do that. That's a total worst case scenario. The legislature isn't in session all the time to make these types of changes. So I'm not saying we have to do it, and I'm kind of getting the feeling nobody wants to do it, and that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that if we did have an idea that we wanted to put forward, that people could weigh in on that.
Okay.
Commissioner Hansen, you had more? No? Okay. All right. So right now, we're not going to suggest anything because that seems to be the consensus of this group. And that would conclude our items on the agenda. Is there anything else? Any other questions or comments?
Wonderful job, Mr. Chairman, all of you. Thank you for the staff preparing this electronic virtual meetings, and we appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll figure out our goal and objective is to get Tudor Ogden online, and we'll get you video connected, Greg, next time. But thank you, everybody, for joining us, sticking through. We got done before noon. That's a good job, I guess. So we'll have a little busier agenda next time, but we will see you in a month. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, motion to adjourn. Who's going to motion to adjourn? Okay, so moved. All right, all in favor? Let's go.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.